You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the wall, and I'd like to give you information, asking for more. What blood makes noise? Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome back, and we are two-thirds of the way home as we've entered hour number three. This is Dave Hodges along with our health reporter, Katie Whalen. And I just want to remind everybody, not only does blood make noise, you're going to make a lot of noise if the poop hits the fan and you don't have food. That's why I encourage you. Best pricing, quality tasting. I've had several meals from this. It's like gourmet food. Numana.com/Hodges. I mean, I'm telling you, if Hillary Clinton's in, you want to eat, come on over here into my camp. And if you don't think that's true, folks, they practiced this in Operation Mountain Guardian in 2011, using kids as bait and food as bait to get people to cross the line. Anyway, that's one thing I wanted to mention, and very quickly, our thanks go out to Mike Adams, naturalnews.com, newstarget.com. I would encourage you to visit both of those sites frequently, and of course, Chris Kitsey from joining us in the first hour before. It's news.com, and of course, scene.life. And I'll tell you, we all need places we can commiserate, share, and grow as colleagues of the truth. And we do need social media. We just don't need Facebook's brand of it. So I would encourage all of you to go to scene.life. You'll find me there on a regular basis. I love it. And the people I'm meeting there are people who are just terrific Americans. In fact, you know, Katie, one of the things that I was thinking of when Mike was talking, but we ran out of time and I didn't get to say this, he talked about how decadent so many people are. And I've made the comment to many people that I don't know how we're losing. I look at people in this movement like a Doug Hagman or a Steve Quayle or Ted Brewer, you know, this, and so many, John Rappaport, you mentioned him. These people are quality individuals. They are of great character. They're highly intelligent. They could be successful in any endeavor they chose to pursue, yet they've chosen to pursue the truth. And I think what we see here in the movement is the people who are good people, and they want their kids to act properly. They want to raise their kids in a society that lives by the rule of law. They're on the right side already. The people we got to convince is, hey, there's a better way over here. Your decadence is going to lead you to destruction. I don't know, Katie, how you feel about that, but I mean, the people that we have, our listeners, the people who write to me, I interact with, they're great people. Great people. It's just, some of the people, I don't know, my wife said this the other night, how could anyone support Hillary Clinton? And I looked at her and I said, because they weren't raised like you and me.
Well,
not raised by the people that support this show and other shows like this.
There are going to be some that support her, but Mike alluded to the perception that's created by the media. She had to, I've been reading the news for the last few days, especially today since the WikiLeaks came out. And a lot of people, 50,000 people are planned to protest, the Bernie supporters who are going to try and shut down the DNC or protest at the DNC. They know now. I'm on Facebook, you know, that you're your enemy there, but I still look at it because that seems to be where the main gist of people's opinions are rolling. And there's a lot of people really upset about this Bernie thing. They're paying attention. And over the last 2 hours, I agree with what you guys are saying, but I also think that there is an awakening. The diehards are going to be diehards. I don't know why. I don't care. But the slow drumbeat over the last 5, 10, 15 years is finally catching up. And when I went back east, there are the people who believe what they believe, and they're the Hillary supporters because she's a female and all that other stuff. But there are people who've been paying attention because they've been forced to pay attention. They're watching things happen in real time, and they're catching on. So I don't think it's as grim as we may think it is, because we live in it. But I think there are people waking up. I really do.
The number's growing exponentially, and I really give that to Mike. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. It's just, what are we going to do with this? Anyway, we've got a health report to do, because not only do we have to grow our knowledge and wisdom and know how to respond to what the evildoers are doing, but we also have to take care of ourselves. So, Katie, that's why we have you here. Take it away.
Yes. Well, thank you. And it is, like I said, it's good to be back. Yay. What a venue. Boy, I get to I get to teach the people what they don't know about what is happening around them. And one of the first stories I have, we've gone over this, and that's the thing, Dave. We pound away the steady drumbeat, and it's finally breaking through. But I have a couple stories here. As the federal government, so goes the unconstitutional agencies that wield unconstitutional power over the American people. I mean, the FDA is one of these tyrannical agencies. So corruption knows no bounds when it comes to the FDA, the agency charged with protecting the health and well-being of the people who pay them. This is mind-boggling. And again, I believe people are beginning to see this because of movies like Vaxxed and The Truth About Cancer, Marageddon. Yes, all this is coming out. So you may, and I'll say to the audience, you may love your doctor, but your doctor is managed and controlled by this very agency, this corrupt agency. Remember this next time you visit your doctor and he prescribes a pharmaceutical to you or your child. So the FDA, this is from truthkings.com, FDA commissioner sued for hiding data that led to the deaths of over 5,000 people. So former FDA commissioner Margaret Hamburg is the subject of a lawsuit filed in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, and the details are grisly as the plaintiff's allegations. Hamburg is being accused of using her position of power to gain approval for a dangerous antibiotic called Levaquin in order to help her husband's hedge fund benefit financially. Oh my gosh!
Well, I know all about Levaquin.
And I love the fact that this is coming out. The hedge fund was deeply seeded with Johnson & Johnson, makers of Levaquin, according to the Daily Caller. Both Alkermes and Johnson & Johnson took stock value increased significantly. Johnson & Johnson's stock value increased significantly during Hamburg's tenure. Imagine that. The lawsuit opens with, this amended complaint sets forth allegations that involved a conspiracy by defendants, each and every one of them, to reap large financial returns by failing to disclose the plaintiffs and the public at large the full extent of the devastating, life-threatening, and deadly effects of a highly dangerous pharmaceutical drug called Levaquin. And there is more. 5,000 people are said to have died as a result of this drug's approval. So they can go to the Truth Kings, read, FDA commissioner sued for hiding data that led to deaths of over 5,000 people. You know, Dave, every time we put these stories out, Mike puts these stories out, there's all these other, you know, there's Aaron Elizabeth, Health Nut News, all these sites that are putting this information out, and then they send it to friends and more friends. It's not tinfoil hat anymore. It's actually busting through the mainstream, and we're seeing it. That's why there's such a resurgence, I think, with campaigns like Trump. He's speaking outside the box. It's not your average political spiel. And so this is a perfect example. And then in the same vein, I highly recommend listeners go to Forbidden Knowledge TV and view one of the most impassioned and powerful 10-minute speeches by Del Bigtree, the producer of the film Vaxxed. He's speaking live at the Health Freedom Rally in Santa Monica just a few days ago. He takes on the criminal CDC and California's SB 277, the mandatory vaccination bill. You should see what happens at the end of this speech. The man is a hero. So go to, you type in Vaxxed, Del Bigtree's powerful speech at Health Freedom Rally. Once you're on Forbidden Knowledge TV, I'm sorry, Forbidden Knowledge GETV.net, ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.net. It is amazing. So this is where we're rolling out. These institutions, people, are not protecting your health. They are money-making institutions. And that's when you were talking, I believe it was in the first hour, about how is Trump going to roll these agencies? How is he going to change everything? These agencies have got to go. They've got to be revamped and brought back to at least doing what they were initially designed to do, and that is to regulate the health of the public and the lobbyists in these big corporations. I don't know how this is going to be done. But number one is making people aware of it. And when you visit your doctor, ask questions. Start seeking your own alternative methods. Research what you have. You know, if your kid wakes up with strep throat, don't immediately call your GP. Start getting educated before these things happen. There are a myriad. Go to Mike's site, naturalnews.com, Natural Society, naturalblaze.com. There are sites where you can go and read about natural remedies and educate yourself on these things. Put these businesses, these corporations out of business. At least hit them where it hurts. So I have another story here. Sorry, I'm off the soapbox, but I'm going to get back on. I love the soapbox. Groundbreaking review shows how glyphosate alters DNA toward chronic illness. So we've gone over glyphosates, Monsanto, the big evil Monsanto. And I had some friends asking me, well, why is genetically modified food so bad? Why is glyphosate so bad? Well, you can start reading this article from naturalblaze.com. Groundbreaking review shows how glyphosate alters DNA toward chronic illness. This is by Brandon Tuberville. A new review of scientific literature is linking one of the most well-known and notorious herbicides in the United States to a variety of diseases as a result of mechanisms that modify the function of human DNA. Question, Dave, do you think this is a result of creating this chemical, or do you think there was something in it, in the design of this chemical? Just sort of off the cuff here.
Yeah, that's kind of a chicken or egg problem, mm-hmm. isn't it? But mm-hmm. You know, I could go either way with this. Personally, I think it was created
to destroy the human DNA, to destroy human
yes.
life, the quality of life, to create.
Well, it fits in with the model of transhumanism.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. It just seems like everything we're learning is all falling down into one path, and that is the destruction of the human body. It says, according to researchers, glyphosate acts as a glycine analog that incorporates into peptides during the process of protein synthesis. During the course of this process, glyphosate alters some proteins that rely on conserved glycine to fulfill their proper function. This glyphosate substitute for glycine, according to the researchers, correlates with a number of diseases including Alzheimer's, asthma, obesity, Parkinson's, diabetes, amyotrophial lateral sclerosis, or ALS. These are autoimmune diseases. Well, I don't remember autoimmune diseases 10, 15, 20 years ago when I was growing up. They have gone side by side with the introduction of massive amounts of glyphosates in our food supply. So glyphosate, a synthetic amino acid and analog of glycine, is the most widely used biocide on the planet. Its presence in food for human consumption and animal feed is ubiquitous. Epidemiological studies have revealed a strong correlation between the increasing incidence in the United States of a large number of chronic diseases and the increased use of glyphosate herbicide on corn, soy, and wheat crops, which is the bulk of our diet. Glyphosate, acting as a glycine analog, may be mistakenly incorporated into peptides during protein synthesis. A deep search of the research literature has revealed a number of protein classes that depend on conserved glycine residue for proper function. So anyway, the study comes as a number of European nations fight the European Union over the ubiquity of herbicides and their attempt to ban it individually. It also comes after a delegation of independent scientists presented their findings at a congressional briefing in June. So think about that. If these scientists have gone before Congress just a month or two ago, and they've given a briefing. So Congress knows of the danger and still passed the DARK Act, which is my next story, which is in my next story by John Rappaport. But President Obama, I don't know if he's done it yet, but he is set to sign the DARK Act. Now, the DARK Act basically will leave us in the dark about what we're eating. So it runs right into John Rappaport's story, Monsanto's DARK Act, ready for Obama's signature. Now, this was Obama back in 2007. Quote, "Let folks know when their food is genetically modified, because Americans have a right to know what they're buying." That's Obama in 2007. John writes, "Really? In the last 8 years, the global outcry against Monsanto and other biotech giants has accelerated, but not a significant peep has emerged from the Obama White House. And now the bill dubbed the DARK Act is ready for Obama's signature. It will make GMO labels on food an exclusive federal matter." Again, taking the power from the states, putting it all in the hands of the agencies I just read to you are being sued for fraud, and those labels will be confusing, weak, and therefore meaningless for the majority of Americans. The DARK Act is basically a free pass for Monsanto and other biotech giants. After his victory in 2008, Obama filed key posts with Monsanto people. Imagine that, in federal agencies that wield tremendous force in GMO food issues, the USDA and the FDA. At the USDA, the director of the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, Roger Beachy, former director of the Monsanto Danforth Center. This isn't funny, but it's so in your face. It stuns me. As deputy commissioner of the FDA, the new food safety issues are the infamous Michael Taylor, former vice president for the public policy for Monsanto. Taylor has been instrumental in getting approval for Monsanto's genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. So then he goes on to start listing all of the leaders of, here we go, as commissioner of the USDA, Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack. Vilsack had set up a national group, the Governor's Biotechnology Partnership, and had been given a had been given a Governor of the Year award by the Biotechnology Industry Organization, whose members include, guess what they include, Dave? Monsanto.
At the heart of everything that they do.
Absolutely. As the agriculture trade representative who would push GMOs for export, Islam Siddiqui, a former Monsanto lobbyist, as the counsel for the USDA, Ramona Romero, who had been corporate counsel for another biotech giant, DuPont, as the head of USAID, USAID, Rajiv Shah, had been previously worked in key positions for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, a major funder of GMO agricultural research. So we should also remember that Obama's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton once worked for the Rose Law Firm. Well, the Rose Law Firm was counsel to Monsanto. Obama nominated, isn't it amazing? Obama nominated Elena Kagan to the U.S. Supreme Court. Kagan, as federal solicitor general, had previously argued for Monsanto in the Monsanto versus Gersten seed case before the Supreme Court. So there you have it. Obama was all along a stealth operative on behalf of Monsanto, biotech, GMOs, and corporate control of the future agriculture. He didn't make that many key political appointees and allow that many new GMO crops to enter the food chain through a lack of oversight. Nor is it coincidental that two of the Obama's biggest supporters, Bill Gates and George Soros, purchased 900,000 and 500,000 shares of Monsanto respectively in 2010. So there you go. Read the full article. John Rappaport, go to No More Fake News and you can read it. Monsanto's DARK Act ready for Obama's signature. Love the way John writes. He goes on and on more and more. He gets more detail on this, but it's time to grow your own produce. That's what more and more people are saying. Raise your own small livestock if possible, chickens and goats. Co-op with neighbors and friends who may live in rural areas. You know, as Donald Trump says, the system is rigged. Well, that includes our food supply. It's rigged. You just heard how it's completely rigged. And our health is the target. So I say, along with Trump's slogan, make America GMO free again. Now, speaking of creating your own food supply, I have some great news here. It's good news. It's the 5-minute walnut milk, a healthier alternative to almond. Do you drink cow's milk, Dave?
No, I drink no milk.
Good. Well, and here's an alternative.
Thanks to you and Ted.
I haven't had cow's milk in ages. And I've had people contact me and say, "Well, I'm drinking organic milk. I'm drinking raw milk. You know, I produce it on my own farm." Milk is still milk, and do some research on how milk affects the body. It's a mucus. It creates a mucus effect, creates inflammation. I mean, even if there's no hormones in it and antibiotics, and it's clean, we're not designed to drink cow's milk. I've been drinking almond milk and hemp milk, things like that. But I've also been reading about some of the additives and how they process the almonds and the walnuts and all that kind of, you know, the nuts they put in them. And it's not as healthy as you think. So it says nut milks are amazing. This is from naturalblaze.com. And it's 5-minute walnut milk, a healthier alternative to almond. This is great. I suggest people go there and read it. It's quick. It's simple. It says nuts are versatile, provide protein, are a great addition to smoothies or lattes, and thankfully don't carry the same allergen risk of commercial dairy milk, barring a nut allergy or severe autoimmune condition, of course. They're perfectly paleo and vegan. Best of all, you can create them any way you want. You call the shots, you decide what's in your milk, and you don't need to raise a cow and be up at 4:30 in the morning milking. So, frankly, the so-called health food industry, or big food, clamoring to get the health-conscious market dollar, is getting downright ridiculous and incorrigible. Just when you think you finally got the affordable convenience of buying a nut milk from the shelf, you find out most of it is filler, and has the addition of highly inflammatory ingredients like carrageenan. Carrageenan is a carcinogen. And the thicker it is, the more carrageenan. That's the thickening agent. Of course, they need to use these thickeners. These milks are mostly water. And you can tell when you see the paltry protein content that it's pretty much filled with fillers. So worse yet, almonds, milked or not, aren't even raw. Not even when the label says so. They're allowed to be irradiated or gassed, and that's never disclosed, so it's hard to say how much nutrition we actually get from them. Plus, almond prices are expected to soar. So if you go and you read this article, you'll see how easy it is. I mean, basically, you soak the almonds overnight or at least for 3 to 4 hours, and then you get a cheesecloth, you crush them up, and you get a cheesecloth, and you can make this milk at home yourself. So the companies that are making us sick, let's really start thinking about producing as much of our own food. Yes, we're storing it, but learn how to produce it yourself.
At some point you have to because if crisis goes on, Katie, you know, mm-hmm. you can have 2 years or 5 years of storable food, but if the crisis is not resolved and you're in a protracted civil war, you better have seeds, and you better have other methods of producing and storing food, like learning how to can food.
Right. Well, and if I'm throwing this off the top of my head, but if 20% or 25%, 30% of the population started pulling back and producing their own foods, growing their own foods, getting chickens, having their own protein sources, and goats, and making their own food, that would have a huge impact on Kellogg and PepsiCo and Nabisco and all these other food companies. So that's what I would recommend, is people start thinking about that. It may be a little late. You could start planting, you know, next summer's crops like your garlic and your onions and things like that now. And you can do indoor gardens. Do sprouting. Sprouting you can do year-round. Get yourself a sprouting kit. Sprouts, broccoli sprouts, bean sprouts, wheatgrass, these are things that you can grow all year long. They're super high in protein. You could probably live on these if you had to. You just stock up, get yourself some organic soils, figure out how you're going to do that, but there are ways to do this. I want everyone to just start coming back to, and if the power goes out, you have your supply of food. You can still feed your family. Just get bags and cans of seeds, and there's plenty of, I know Mike's site has seeds. There are so many seeds, sprouting kits and garden seed kits. You can get them, store them. I think they last from 5 to 7 years if you don't open them, so definitely start thinking about that. So I have one article, I don't know if we're going to have time for that, elevated insulin levels trigger more aggressive and metastatic metastatic cancers. So that's from Natural Health 365. Probably don't have time for that, but this is a great article because it goes into the whole diabetes thing and how much sugar we're eating and how it's triggering some very nasty diseases such as metastatic cancers. So that is my health report, because I know that we've got something that, some pretty interesting things that you wanted to go over tonight, too. You had my ears perked up.
Well, yeah, we talked about this before we went on air. I just want to mention a couple of things here and give credit to our sponsors, Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842, Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, 1-800-627-3809, numana.com/Hodges for all your storable food needs, and of course, scene.life. So, you know, there's one thing, too, I want to mention, and it's a new venture, and I'm actually doing my first interview off of this tonight. Katie, there's a lot of people that have asked me, and I don't know if you've ever been asked this, but why don't you guys do a daily show? And, you know, I experimented with that for a little while at the beginning of the year, and it was a disaster for my life. I've got too much, and really the major thing is I feel like I'm reaching too many people through the website and the articles. And one kind of takes away from the other because there's only so many hours in the day. But I found a way to almost have a daily talk show. Mm-hmm. And Katie, this is something I don't know how much I've mentioned this to you. It's kind of been off, you know, and I've been on vacation and you've been gone. And but it's something that I've worked on. I have an accomplice who's working with me behind the scenes who wants to remain anonymous. But we have a YouTube channel. And this is all going to go through the YouTube channel. And I would encourage people to go to thecommonsenseshow.com and then click on, you know, the YouTube icon and you'll go there. Don't forget to subscribe and to like us. But what I've begun to do is not only post our archives there, which we've done, and we'll have these out tomorrow. I've got someone who's working on this now as we speak. And I also do mini podcasts. You know, somewhere 5-10 minutes. I think the longest I've done is 17 minutes. But generally, they're 5 minutes, 10 minutes long, closer to 5. And I'll take a topic like I did today, and I talked about the Senate passing the bill, you know, telling women that they must register for the draft when they turn 18. And I likened it to an extension of slave labor policies out of Executive Order 13603, where you really don't own your own life. You know, mm-hmm. The establishment thinks they do. And I've begun to put those up there, and I would encourage people to go there because it's a way to cover many issues. But the other thing that I'm going to begin to do, and in fact, I'm doing my first one tonight with Paul, and oh, is it going to be a blockbuster? There are two possible major false flag attacks that could happen in near proximity to each other that will devastate this country. And Paul has some inside information, and I'm interviewing him by Skype after the show tonight. And we are going to publish this and put it out for distribution tomorrow. And by doing that, by having these mini interviews and these podcasts up on YouTube, Katie, it's a way that we can almost have the feel that we do have a daily show and people don't have to just wait till Sunday night to get the latest, because as things happen, I can just go do my impromptu thing. And I mean, it doesn't take us real long to put these together. And we're really starting to meet with some good success. Our numbers have grown, and we have almost 5,000 subscribers now. And so I want to encourage our listening audience to go, because I've had a lot of people say, Dave, you need to do a daily show. And I'm saying, I don't have time to make a regular commitment to do a daily show, but I can do an irregular, almost daily show through podcasts and interviews via Skype. And this is the direction the Common Sense Show is going. So we are trying to respond to increased demand and increased requests for more programming by doing this. And so this is something that's new to a lot of people, and I'm really enjoying the heck out of it. It's something that I really, really like. I mean, really kind of the highlight of the week, or one of the highlights of the week, is when I come here on Global Star and we do our show. I absolutely relish these times to share information with our listening public, but this is a way I can expand it.
So with the YouTube with the YouTube channel, people can get that on their cell phones and plug it in. It would be drive time news. 20 minutes of whatever's happening. If you know, you're pretty good, you can anticipate what's coming tomorrow or read some of the news. That people are in bed and you've got four or five major headlines and you do a 15 or 20 minute YouTube, people pop that in on the way to work. They're getting four or five of breaking headline news headlines during drive time. During the, you know, they're on their way to work, so they're starting their day out and they're ahead of the game, ahead of the curve. So
yeah, because of our schedule, we usually do these later at night. But you're right, they will be available first thing in the morning. And there are production aspects involved in this. I mean, it's not an instant flip a switch and here it is. There's some things you got to do, and anyone who knows YouTube knows exactly what I'm talking about. But we're getting there. We're getting there, and we're responding to need, and I'm really pleased to be able to announce this new service. There's one other announcement I want to make. 2 years ago in 2014, Steve Quayle and I appeared on Doug Hagman's show. Now, forget my participation in it, but Doug and Steve were phenomenal. The synergy that we had with the three of us on contemporary events, and then we were talking about Syria and posturing in Syria, and a lot of things we said that night 2 years ago are coming to play now, where Russians are actually facing off against Americans. In fact, the Russians, according to the Wall Street Journal today, actually bombed a U.S. air base. I don't think there were any casualties, but we're seeing this could be the flashpoint for World War III. It's biblical, where it says Damascus will be destroyed in a day or less than a day. And we're going to try to repeat history, only we're going to make it contemporary. We're going to talk about today's issues. Tomorrow, here on Global Star Radio Network, on the Hagman and Hagman Report, which starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So the same way you're listening to me now, you can listen tomorrow. Steve and I are going to join Doug and Joe for a full 3 hours. And I have been putting this at the end of nearly every article I've written for the past 4 or 5 days, and I'll have a big announcement up on the website tomorrow. But I have a feeling there's going to be, I think, a lot of good. And what I hope people will do with this is our listening audience is so smart, so knowledgeable. But they increasingly, Katie, need to take on the role of being a missionary for the truth. If you think what we do tomorrow night in this show is good, please share it with people who need to hear it. Please share it with people that need to hear it. And I've been saying this about the movie Armageddon, who Gary Haven, one of the producers, and also one other producer, they're going to join us next week. And we are really pleased to be partnered with the movie Armageddon for the same reason. But if you go to the movie, take someone with you who needs to see the movie.
Yeah.
And that's, I'll give you an example of this, Katie. Way back when I was still lucky enough to have my mom around, and I'm visiting her up in the Denver area, and the Michael Moore movie Sicko came out. Now listen, I am no Michael Moore fan, believe me, but he highlighted a lot of great points. He had Dr. Linda Pino on, who I've had on this show a few times, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go see it. And I kept telling my mom, she didn't like the medical system, but she didn't believe it was depopulated oriented. This is her son maybe going off the deep end a little bit. We went to the movie, and it was about the evils of managed health care. Now, of course, there was an ulterior motive for Michael Moore. He wanted Obamacare, what will end up being Obamacare, and he was championing what Hillary tried to do in 92 with her own version of Hillary Care. But the evils he pointed out in managed health care, such as dumping, which is dumping people that can't pay their bill on Skid Row, oftentimes with IV needles in them and so forth, and he had video evidence of this, and all these horrific practices. So I take my mom to this. And 15 minutes into the movie, she turns to me and she said, "Honey, you're right. I'm sorry. Every American needs to see this movie. This is beyond corrupt." She said, "This is satanically evil." And when you take someone to a movie like an Amerageddon, you never know when you're going to have that aha moment with that person, and the light comes on, and all of a sudden they begin to see it. And I've often said this, teaching people about the satanic New World Order is like finding an entrance into the house of knowledge. You know, everyone has a different entrance point. For me, it was when John McCain and his globalists tried to steal my property for the Canamex Superhighway and also steal the land of 2,000 of my neighbors. That was my entry point into the New World Order, where I actually am doing what I am doing today because of that. For some people, they have a negative encounter with the IRS because of their political activities. You know, Lois Lerner rears her ugly head. It can be any number of things. So taking people to a movie might be the way that catches their attention in a way. It's their entry point into this knowledge that everyone needs to have. Because, folks, listen to me. We have 4 months. We have to overcome a minimum of a 10% voter fraud with Hillary Clinton. And notice I said minimum, and this is based on the Stanford study. We have to overcome every dirty trick in the book. Every vilification of Trump, that they'll splice and dice what he says and make him look like he's saying things he's not. We need to overcome that with a massive action. And this is why, you know, Katie and I appear on the radio, and I write articles, and I appear on talk shows. But you don't have to do any of that, and you can have just as big of an effect as someone like me, someone like Doug and Steve. You can be out there, and you can start a chain reaction where you tell someone, they tell two people, they tell 10 people, and you never know the fruits of your labor, but we need to do it, and we need to do it now. You heard me say this to Mike Adams. This point in history is not going to come again in our lifetime. We are not going to have a second chance. There will be no second opportunity to get this country back. And the worst that could happen, if we win and get Trump in, we may not get everything we want. In fact, I know we won't. But at least we can delay what they're trying to do to us. And it's another day of peace with our family. And this is the powerful reasons I think that every American who knows what's going on, you know the truth, you now have no excuse not to get to work and talk to your neighbors. You have to. And you're going to get rejected some, and it's okay. Oh, you're one of them conspiracy theorists. Someone said that to me the other day when I was talking about something as innocuous as the JFK. And I looked at him and I said, "So do you think everything is a coincidence? Do you think that when two bank robbers show up at the bank and try to take the bank's money, that they arrive there coincidentally?" And you should have seen, "Well, And oh, by the way, you voted for Obama, didn't you? Yeah, well, name one thing he's done for you in the middle class. So this is, we have to be prepared to meet those challenges, and don't meet them defensively, but meet them proactively. Well, anyway, here's what I want to talk about. And this is kind of a teaser to where this is going. I was on Dr. Rebecca Carley's show on RBN, oh gosh, back in 2008. So this is 8 years ago that I've been on this story. The story originated with a contact I had in the DHS. He said, "Dave, do you really think the New World Order, as you call it, is really one faction?" And I said, "Well, I imagine there's some divisions." He goes, "There's more than divisions." He goes, "There's outright warfare." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And he highlighted for me, he says, "Why do you think John McCain picked Sarah Palin?" And I said, "Well, a good question. Why do you think Fox is so stoutly behind John McCain?" "Because Rupert Murdoch, in his role as an oil man, wants a piece of the North Shore Alaskan oil. And he's tried to get into that through Citgo and the Chinese and the Venezuelans when Hugo Chavez was alive. He's tried to get into it from subsidiaries of Dutch Shell." And I'm going to throw this out, Katie. You can kind of react to it and be the public conscience, if you will. I developed this idea, and I said, look, there's the old... Just think about life. Old money hates new money. The old guard, the blue bloods, they hate the nouveau riche. They're jealous of them, so they make rules to limit their income, keep them in their place. Well, that's Rupert Murdoch. He may own one of the six media outlets that owns 98% of the media. But he's not on favored status, and he never has been. He's not well respected by the globalists, and I've heard this from insiders and outsiders. And interestingly enough, in a meeting that was publicized, but not very well publicized, Trump met with Murdoch and his wife, Jerry Hall, at his golf resort in Scotland. And after that meeting in June, someone flipped a switch at Fox News. I want to go back to April. Trump had a debate with Lion Ted Cruz and Little Marco and the little crybaby, the governor of Ohio. And the Fox News people was Mike Wallace, Chris Baer, and Megyn Kelly. And they gave softball questions to the other three outside of Trump. And with Trump, when it was his turn, they put up a PowerPoint that dominated the screen, and you saw Trump's picture in the small side. And they said, well, how about this? And they went through all these allegations, and I knew a lot of them were out of context and exaggerated, and some of it was outright lies. And he was the only one treated in this manner. And I wrote an article and said, when does a debate become an inquisition? And that's what we saw at Fox as late as April. And then this switch gets flipped. And in June, I start hearing things from Megyn Kelly. The Trump children are so impressive, and they are. And he's done a great job with his kids. But you got Megyn Kelly saying it. You got Brett Baer saying it. Now, I think Sean Hannity knows the score, and I kind of think Sean Hannity might be one of the good guys on the other side, but he's been controlled. But he's enthusiastically behind Trump, enthusiastically behind his party, and enthusiastically behind the children and what they're going to do for Donald Trump, which was to portray him as a man who has a soft side. Well, Katie, what's interesting about this is, why would Fox flip? Well, I can tell you why. Rupert Murdoch, it was kind of funny, after the 2008 election, let's go back in history. This is real. People say, oh yeah, I remember this now. In 2008, an upstart Glenn Beck on the national scene had a minor role with CNN. I caught him once on CNN when he talked about how he didn't like the trade agreements. I go, whoa, oh, you won't be on there very long, Glenn, if you say that. And I was right. He wasn't. He was auditioning for a job with Rupert Murdoch. The election is lost. Sarah Palin goes back home. And the North Shore is safe from competition. You see, the globalists, the old guard, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Federal Reserve, all their interests, they want to be able to go in and throw billions at the Arab sheiks while their people live in absolute poverty. And they just love to be able to do what they're doing in the Middle East. That's how they make the most money. North Shore Alaskan Oil, with the Alaskan Pipeline and other pipelines like the Keystone Pipeline that would follow, would bring gas down, according to what I've been told by economists, to about 50 cents a gallon. They don't want that. The old guard wanted it to be where it is. Now, here's Rupert Murdoch. He tried to get in there through CITGO and all these other organizations. Now he's really pissed off. So he recruits Glenn Beck. And Katie, I'm sure you remember this. It was the best TV I've ever watched. Now, listen, I won't give Glenn Beck the time of day today, and I'm not going to use this time to bash him, but I have no time for him. Anyone who can say there's not FEMA camps and he can support Lion Ted Cruz, and I don't have time for him. But anyway, at this time, in 2009, Glenn Beck was on fire. I remember an episode in his show where he said, you want to know what the Rockefellers are like? Let's go find out. Let's go to Rockefeller Square. And their camera zoomed in on the upper part of the door hinge on the upper left-hand corner, and it showed a hammer. They panned the camera across the width of the door. It was quite wide, and they showed a sickle. He said, any questions? I have never seen, before or since, David Rockefeller and the Rockefeller family besmirched in such a direct and obvious manner. And this was his way of saying, screw you. You want to keep me from making money and being one of the big boys like you? I'm going to show you. But remember, it was about 2 years later that he was caught up in a scandal in England. You can still see the YouTube videos today on the internet about this, where he was bribing everybody left and right, which is nothing unusual for these people. But they used this against him, and they made it, the elite made it go away. And how they make it go away? Because they made Glenn Beck go away. Glenn Beck exposed Saul Alinsky and the rules for radicals, the communist Van Jones, how the Weatherman Underground, and we had the late Larry Grathwall on this show a few times, how the Weatherman Underground, with their leaders, Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, how they brought Obama's political career into fruition. They launched his state senatorial campaign in the home, Hyde Park home of Bill Ayers, who still visits the White House today. Mm-hmm. And what was he known for? Terrorist activities. He and Bernadine and his wife went to jail for their activities with the Weatherman Underground. They were communist radicals.
They got off on technicalities.
No, but they served time. Bernadine served 7 months, and then you're right, the elite pulled the strings and got him out. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're total criminals, and they recruited a criminal in Obama, and they were communists. I mean, they visited North Vietnam with Jane Fonda. They visited Fidel Castro, and I've said often that Obama was born to communists, and I've written about this. He was raised by communists, and his political career was launched by communists. He was endorsed by the American Communist Party. Well, anyway, the sea change came, and for Murdoch to survive, Glenn Beck had to go. That was the behind-the-scenes deal that was made. Now it's a new day and a new age, and Murdoch's dreams have not died. And in Trump's acceptance speech, he made the comment that probably very few Americans would have said, oh, yeah, I get that. I know what he means. He said, we will not have energy companies have their interest encumbered. They'll be free to pursue what they want. Now, part of that obviously meant the coal and the iron industry and so forth that Obama has gutted. Mm-hmm. But it's no coincidence that less than 2 weeks after Trump met with Murdoch, Fox just has a love affair with Trump and his family, and then he announces in his acceptance speech, it's open season for the energy companies. In other words, that was a declaration of war on two fronts. One, it was a declaration of war on the New World Order from the old guard perspective, that you're not going to have things the way you want it. And two, by opening up the North Shore, that's going to stimulate this economy like we have never seen. We said we need new stuff to stimulate the economy. This will greatly stimulate the economy. And also I find this interesting, too. If a war were to break out today between us and Russia, we'd also be fighting China because they're married at the hip with their energy deals. But I'll go back to 2008, and something that I was able to find out in my investigation, there were strong Chinese interests through the Li family in Citgo. They partnered with Venezuela. This became the birth of the BRIC nations back in 2008. And these other BRIC nations joined in. But at the heart of it was China and Rupert Murdoch. And China and Citgo really wanted the North Shore. Now, I think Trump is playing both ends against the middle here. If you were to ask me to make a guess as to what he's doing, and I think this is brilliant, if he opens up the North Shore as president, and there's not much that can be done to stop him on that, he can simply do it by executive order. But if he allows the Chinese to have a role, he negates the Chinese interest in going to war against the United States with Russia. Why would you crap in your own nest when you have untold wealth you could pull out?
What about the Russians' interest in Alaska and oil? What's that going to do to the Russians?
I think that's to be negotiated. I'm actually, you know, my son gave me as a gift for Father's Day Trump's book, The Art of the Deal. Mm-hmm. And between the book you gave me and this book, I've been kind of weaving my way through these various books. And as I look at how Trump has negotiated, Mike Adams said this very well, Trump has negotiated some of the most complicated deals in world history. I can't believe, and he's made overtures to Putin, friendly overtures.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think World War III in large part depends on who gets elected. If Hillary gets elected, Russia knows they're going to war. If Trump gets elected, I think Putin is going to be willing to talk. I would prefer to talk. And I'll tell you, the administration is preparing for war. And if you don't think that is true, ask yourself why in an election year would the administration, the establishment, approve through the Senate, soon to go to the House, a bill that would allow for the drafting of women. And then if you take Executive Order 13603, and Mike alluded to that without mentioning the number, but he said they can come and take every resource, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but not only that, in Section 601 and 701 and 801 in that act, that Executive Order Act by Obama, they can take you and they can call you a consultant, and they define a consultant as an unpaid laborer. It's the introduction of slave labor. And folks, if you don't believe me, and I know that I think I've developed a trust with most of my listening audience in the years, but those of you who are new, go to the Common Sense Show, put an Executive Order 13603 in, and I've referenced this numerous times, but I've written six articles on it. You'll find three references to this, and I link into whitehouse.gov. It's not like we think it's there. It's there. So you got slave labor for the adults, and for the young people becoming adults, you've got the planned drafting of women. Well, if they're going to set up women to be drafted, they're sure as hell going to draft the men. And like I said, close the window, here comes the draft, because it's coming. And why is it coming? Because Hillary Clinton is the war candidate. And this is another reason to vote Trump. Now, I will tell you this, we all have to make our own decisions, but I don't care if I have to go to Timbuktu and live under a rock in a cave like Osama bin Laden did. I don't care. My son is not going to be fodder for the New World Order bankers so they can make money. Mm-hmm. And I hope all of you make that same stand, too. I mean, if there's a war where the Chinese are coming down the street and they've got their tanks, yeah, we're going to fight, and we may die. But in terms of being sent off to fight in places like Iraq, Afghanistan, soon to be Syria, Hodges family's having none of that. I will do what I have to do to protect my family and my extended family. And I hope that all Americans say to the government, no and hell no, we're not going to go along with this.
Well, and here's my concern is, in the next 6 months, is can Putin hold off, knowing that, you know, this administration still has 6 months to make to ratchet everything up. Is he smart? Putin's a smart cookie. I mean, will he hold off enough, and the Chinese hold off enough to see? I actually have been reading everywhere that these WikiLeaks were from the Russians. These WikiLeaks DNC documents were released. They were hacked by the Russians. So is Putin working to do as much damage to the old guard as possible so that he can work with Trump on this?
Well, there's a lot of people who have political views in our independent media that I don't, not a lot. There's a few people who I don't agree with. They champion Putin as a hero of the Republic, of the world. And they base that on the fact that Putin is someone who has stood up to the New World Order banking system with Basel and said, no, we're not going to go along with you. And I do think that's admirable. But we have to remember the man's background. And maybe he's had an epiphany. I don't know. People change. People come to God. They change every day. But Putin was a wife abuser, and I'm not making this stuff up. And I don't talk about this regularly because I don't think personal attacks on people are the way that you make points to advance your agenda. But I want to talk about character for a minute and why I don't fully trust Putin. He was a philanderer. He has killed journalists. He has created false flags in his own country and also in places like Georgia. And I'm talking about Georgia inside of the old Soviet Union, not Georgia, our state. So there's a lot about Putin I don't like. He's ex-KGB that morphed into the Russian mafia. They're responsible for almost all the identity theft today, blah, 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 blah. Now, has Putin outgrown this? Has Putin, as he says, he has found God and so forth and so on? I don't know. I don't know what's in the man's heart. But I will tell you this. Every day you go without a war is a good day. And his lack of character from his background is not a reason in my mind to go to war. And yet, I guarantee you, when Clinton is elected, I mean, she's going to put Putin front and center and highlight all the things he's done and say, we got to protect ourselves, and they'll force the incident.
He's not going to want to. He can go up against Obama. He's going to think twice about going up against a President Trump.
Well, he knows Trump won't mess around, but the second thing, I think he thinks he can probably work with Trump, and I'll give you this, too. This is kind of a good note to close on because I'm going to expand on this in a podcast. Everyone thinks they know what's going on in Turkey. Oh, there's a coup, blah, blah. You know what the coup was about? Let's just cut to the chase. I don't need someone with inside knowledge to tell me, although I did. But it's just common sense. They are holding 1,500 American servicemen hostage, nuclear weapons hostage. The reason being is Turkey is tired of being dominated by the CIA. The CIA killed a gas deal with Turkey, and I'm coming out with this story in the morning on the Common Sense Show. The CIA killed the gas deal that basically when Ukraine had problems, Russia wanted to build a pipeline, a huge pipeline through Turkey, and the CIA says, you're NATO, you're with us. That's what this coup was about. Turkey is asserting its independence, but there is the old guard that's being paid off by the CIA, and that's why there are the purges that are going on. So I'll be developing that in much more detail, and it ties in, too, with my original hypothesis. There is the old New World Order, and there is the new New World Order, and Turkey is jumping ship to join the new. The BRIC nations are about the new. We're not going to be in the old petrodollar, you must buy a dollar to buy oil. We're going to buy oil and gold, said Russia, China, India, Brazil, South Africa, and so forth. Hence the name, the BRICS. So there's a lot more I'm going to be saying about this.
Wow. Wow. So all I can say is, it's all coming out, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, it is. But Steve Quayle said when he was on the show, all things will be revealed. Man, was Steve ever right. And again, come back and join Steve and I and Doug and Joe tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. We want this to be a show that everyone's going to learn from, grow from, pray over the results, and then disseminate the information. Make it go far and wide. Next week, we have Gary Haven on. We're going to talk a little bit about Marageddon, but we're going to really get into the UN taking over the military aspect and why he made that a central theme in his movie. And this, boy, he really knows his
stuff.
He was
spot on.
He knows his stuff, and he hasn't got into everything he knows. This is kind of a time release thing. And by the way, Marageddon's being released again. And go to AmerageddonTheMovie.com to look at the release sites. And eventually they're going to come out with a DVD. I just don't know if they're going to come out in time before All You Know It breaks loose. So join us next week. We're going to have a great show. Katie, great job on the health report.
Thank
reporting
you.
These villainous agencies that Trump needs to clean house on when we get him in. And to everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. It really is the highlight of my week professionally to come on here and share with so many great people. And we look forward to having you back again next week here on The Common Sense Show with Gary Haven, and we got a surprise guest too that I have to hold close to my vest. But we will see you next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.
God bless.